Continuing with our look at Jannah and the inscriptions on the 8 doors of Jannah. Today we will look at the second door onwards. And on the second door, the inscription says, لكل شيء حيلة وحيلة السرور في الآخرة أربع خصال. Everything has a means of attainment, and to attain happiness in the hereafter, one must adopt 4 qualities.
مسخ رؤوس اليتامى والتعطف على الأرامل والسعي في هوائج المؤمنين والتفقد للفقراء والمساكين.
Affection towards orphans, to show compassion to those who are widowed, to strive to meet the needs of mu'mineen, and to inquire about and visit the poor and the needy. And if we look at the first of these traits, or the first quality, it's mashur uysil yatama, to touch, to caress the heads of orphans, in other words, to show affection towards them. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam says, whosoever puts an affectionate hand on the head of an orphan will be rewarded by Allah with a radiance for every hair which will pass from below his hand. I can only but explain this or give anecdotes and incidents which we can remember and be able to then adopt or instill this quality in us. Prophet Isa alayhi salam was passing through a graveyard with his companions, and when he was nearing one particular grave, he started to walk fast. And when the companions inquired, he said that the person in the grave was being punished and did not want to be near the grave. And Prophet Isa did not want to be near the grave. A year later, at the same graveyard, the companions watched him as he walked slowly, cherishing each step when he walked past that particular grave. And they asked him about the change, because they knew that death was a point where all actions stopped. And Prophet Isa alayhi salam said, this man had a son who has provided food and shelter to an orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven the sins of the father on that account. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person looks after an orphan and meets his expenses, he will be my companion in Jannah and will sit by my side. In his last will, after being struck by Ibn Muljim, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, be God conscious when the questions of orphans arise. You should never let them starve. So long as you are there to guard and protect them, you should not let them be ruined or lost. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always reminded us of this responsibility, so much so that we often thought that the Prophet might give them a share from our inheritance. Look at what he writes about them. With this week in the world today, May 2008, we find the horrific consequences of a cyclone, and then we find the earthquake in China. For one moment, if you thought and pondered of those who have lost everything, it is our duty to be able to give, as they say in Gujarati, if not the flower, then a petal, whatever little we can, so that we too may be recorded as those who are affectionate towards orphans. If we look at the second quality that is described in the second door of Jannah, it is to show compassion to those who are widowed. You know, to be bereaved of a spouse is probably one of the most difficult griefs to bear, because marriage is a unique relationship. It's the first relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The first relationship He created was that of man and his wife. When He created Prophet Adam alayhi salam, Prophet Adam was the richest man ever. He had Jannah at his disposal. He had all knowledge that was taught by Allah. Remember, وَعَلَّمَ عَدَمَ أَسْمَاءُ كُلُّهَا, and we taught Adam all the names. He had Iman, but he still felt that he was not complete. It was only in the creation of Sayyidah Hawa that made him feel complete and content. Thus, the death of a life partner, of a spouse, leaves one feeling incomplete, besides having the other added responsibilities that were previously shared. When we look at the lives of our ma'sumin, they used to help the widows by delivering food and other necessities to them in the dark of the night when none were awake. And the beneficiaries only realized after the shahadat, after the death of the imams, about the identity of their benefactors. And I'd only like to mention one anecdote. One day, Imam Ali al-Islam saw an old lady who was widowed in one of the battles of Islam carrying a heavy load of firewood. When he saw her, he asked whether he could help to carry the firewood to her home. She agreed. He escorted her home, helped her to light her oven and look after her children while she cooked. She didn't know his identity until she was informed of it by a neighbor. But until then, while she was talking, she was telling him that her husband was killed in the battle that he fought by the Khalifa of the time, who was Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then Imam Ali al-Islam was going quite near the fire, and she was saying, "Why are you going so near it?" He said, "So that I may feel the heat for any wrong that I may have done you by asking your husband to engage in a battle." It was only when her neighbor informed her that she realized that he who had served her like an obedient servant was none other than the Khalifa of the time. Now, this is a sort of compassion engagement that is required towards those who are bereaved. The third quality we find is striving to meet the needs of mu'mineen. وَسَعَيُوا فِي حَوَائِجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Sa'i, we all know, is to strive. When one of my abd performs a good act, I award him Jannah in exchange. This is a statement from Hadith Qudsi. And Prophet Dawood al-Islam, on hearing this, asks Allah, "Ya Allah, what is that good act?" And the revelation came, "It is making a mu'min happy, even if it is by offering him a date." The wonderful story about a man called Sadiq Halawani, who was once approached by his friends in Masjid al-Haram to lend him 2 dinars. Sadiq told him he would give him the money after he had completed his tawaf. And just as he was about to complete his tawaf, Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam arrived for tawaf. Imam put his hand on Sadiq's shoulder and began his tawaf. Sadiq says that although he had completed his tawaf, he accompanied Imam, and his friend was sitting in a corner making signs to him. Imam asked Sadiq why the man was trying to call his attention, and Sadiq said, "He's waiting for me so that after I complete tawaf, I can help arrange a loan for him. As you put your hand on my shoulder, I did not wish to leave you." Imam immediately removed his hand from his shoulder and said, go to meet his need." And Sadiq fulfilled his word to his friend. Next day he went to visit Imam, who said, "If you strive to meet the need of a mu'min, it is more worthy a deed than freeing 1,000 slaves and equipping 1,000 people for striving in the way of God." Now, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Islam has said, "Strive to acquire a high position in Jannah. Remember, the more useful a person is to a fellow mu'min, the higher his position in Jannah. At times, even the saying of a sentence becomes a source of becoming close to Allah. Never consider the kindness to your fellow mu'min to be insignificant, for it will be these that will be useful on a day when nothing much will be of any use." And finally, if we look at the last inscription, it says, "Inquiring about and visiting the needy and the poor." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a true mu'min is one who maintains brotherly relations with the poor and needy and gives them a share of his wealth and behaves with them justly. And the only anecdote that comes to mind is when Imam Hassan and Hussein alaihi wasallam had just buried their father and were returning to the city, when they heard someone cry out and say, "Where are you? O you who visited me and had mercy on me?" They followed the sound of where the voice was coming from and found that it was a leper for whom Imam Ali al-Islam had provided a shelter outside the town of Kufa. Imam used to visit the leper daily, dressing his wounds and feeding him, for he had lost the use of his hands. And And they asked him who he was calling out to, and he said, "I don't know, for I am blind. All I know that this man used to come and look after me, and whenever I asked him who he was, he would say that I too am a miskeen. I too am a poor person, and a poor person sits with a poor person." When they informed him of the death of their father, he asked to be taken to the grave where he breathed his last. Another incident that I remember from childhood is where Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Islam was once with his companions, and they visited one of the poor and needy of Medina. And Imam gave him some money and kissed the poor man's hand. Imam's companion asked why he had done that, to which Imam replied, "He is my muhsin. He is one to whom I am obliged." And they said, "Surely, you are his muhsin." And Imam said, "No, he has accepted my help. For by doing so, he is bringing me closer to Allah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whosoever gives respect to a needy Muslim will appear on the day of Qiyamah as one who has achieved the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," which is in essence our goal. Inshallah, we will continue with these inscriptions.